So, race week number two. And if you really did think there was any hope of some sort of competitiveness this season for that first spot, well, they have been well and truly killed. Now, Saudi Arabia was a whitewash for Max Verstappen. Albeit, first time ever, he had never qualified P1 at Saudi. He did that. He'd obviously won at Saudi before, but only once. But the rest of the cars are absolutely nowhere near Red Bull. It is incredible. So we're going to talk all things Saudi, the Mercedes disaster class, Ollie Bearman and his debut, Danny Ric, what the hell is going on there, Felipe Massa, I know that's a blast from the past, but he's piped up again. We'll talk about everything. Wherever you're listening to us to, where, does that make sense? Wherever you're listening to us on, that's what I meant to say. Please give us 5 stars because it really does make a big difference. It helps the podcast out a lot. And we're actually up to number... What number are we up to?
27.
Number 27 in the fantasy sports charts in England. Sounds niche, but it's a win for us.
It's not England, it's Great Britain.
Oh, Great Britain. So that includes the Scots, the Northern Irish, and of course, the Welsh. So yeah, thanks to everyone listening. Please do just keep... pumping those 5-star ratings in because they make a big difference. And if you want to get involved more frequently, just follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Or Twitter, should I say. You don't have to follow us on all three, but at least follow us on one of them. If you do want to follow us on all three, brilliant. You'll have the most amount of content we can possibly give you. Just search Racecast. It's like Racecast Insta, Racecast Clips for TikTok, and then Racecast Tweets for... well, Twitter, obviously. anyway, let's crack on.
Not as long as last week. Well done.
No, yeah. Obviously had a long. Do we have any complaints last week?
Oh, mate. Loads.
It wouldn't surprise me. I probably would have complained.
Yeah. Long intro. Bored of hearing Luke's voice for so long. Yeah. I was like, and that was just from me. So, welcome along, everyone. As Luke said, I mean, we're race two... complete, and already I am worried.
We might as well already end the season.
I'm really worried that there's a high chance that Max Verstappen could win every race this season, and that's a real possibility because this car is reliable, it's quick, and you got Max Verstappen behind it. So that alone, it worries me because already there is no car on that grid close enough. And it made me laugh after the Saudi Grand Prix where people go, look, you know, Sergio Perez was quite close. There is no way in hell that Max Verstappen was going, oh, I'm actually being caught by Perez here. He was just protecting the engine. He was just, you know, cruising round. He wasn't pushing that car to the limit.
Yeah, there's absolutely... I'm pretty sure on this. There is absolutely no race... in which Sergio Perez will be like pound for pound quicker than Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
The only way in which I believe Sergio Perez will beat Max Verstappen this season is if Max incurs like a penalty.
But when we mean penalty, like a 30-second penalty.
Yeah, you know, something that, or a grid penalty that,
like a K-Mag type penalty.
That is it like an awkward track or something.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, he had a penalty last season at Miami. Where the hell did he start? It wasn't long before he had just overtaken Perez. Granted, there was, you know, Saudi last year, Max couldn't get close to Perez.
No.
But, yeah, Max is just, he's just improving. He's getting better and better with the car.
He's on a different level. And, you know, I asked, we were talking about this the other day with a couple of my friends, and we were saying, obviously, we had the Lewis dominance, we had the Ferrari dominance, we had the Mercedes dominance,
the Red Bull dominance as well.
No, but this is what I'm getting on to. This Red Bull dominance.
No, but I meant the Seb.
Oh, Seb. Yeah, of course we had that.
But that was close, you know. That was a different kind of dominance.
Yeah.
Because There were seasons where it was like, oh, was it 2011 where like we had like five title challenges, four or five?
Yeah, 11, 12, I think it was one
of
them.
It was one of them. I think it was like, yeah, 2013, I think Seb ran away with it. But yeah, it was, yeah, and now we're into Red Bull dominance again, but a different kind of dominance.
Obviously, we know, and we've touched on this before, you know, we were fortunate to have the 21 season because in theory these regulations would have been in then. But do you think this type of dominance at the moment from Red Bull is ruining the sport? And what I mean by that is, yes, you've always had dominance within teams, and we've had that with Mercedes, Ferrari, all of this stuff. But this level of dominance from a team and a driver, I think is nothing that we've seen before. Because even when you had dominant teams, you always had a bit of a challenge in the year. We're not even getting... I mean, Sergio Perez has finished second. That means nothing, really, in a championship this year.
Yeah, I mean, first and second are pretty much write-offs in every race now. I think we had that... But did we have that in a couple of seasons? Probably in the Schumacher era.
Yeah.
But not 3 years in a row.
No.
I don't believe we ever had that, because pretty sure McLaren competed back then.
Yeah.
Obviously, come 05, Fernando came in and won the next two seasons. I know Schumacher won, like, what, five on the trot or something?
Yeah, ridiculous amount.
But there was some competition along the way. And even when I say competition, I don't even necessarily mean like, oh, it was close. But there were races that weren't won by Schumacher. And yeah, this rate, I really don't think we're going to get that. Bear in mind, if the Red Bull wasn't just randomly shit at Singapore last year, they would have genuinely won every single race. And even saying that, we only had one race where they didn't win it. That's incredible. And this year it's looking like even more unlikely that anyone is going to be remotely close to them. And to make it even worse, we've got even more races this season.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You look at the 2004 season, for example. Schumacher won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. Trulli in Renault won. Okay, but to be fair, Michael Schumacher pretty much dominated. But you had different winners. You had Raikkonen, you had Barrichello, you had Montoya. So you had different winners in that season.
I do think 2004 was one of the most dominant seasons. Yeah. If you look at 2003...
This is interesting because you had Coulthard in the McLaren, Raikkonen in the McLaren, Fisichella in the Jordan, Schumacher, Montoya, Ralf Schumacher, Barrichello, Alonso. So you had a variety of different winners.
And that really is the point. Like, the 2004 season is probably a bad example because that was...
Yeah.
That was, but then still... I mean, on a percentage-wise, there was less races, but... Nothing compares to last season.
No.
You know, we had another winner in Sergio Perez, same team, and then Sainz. But it's nothing like... It sounds like that we're complaining about Red Bull, and that's not what we're doing at all. It just makes it a bit boring. It's like hopping on FIFA, sticking the AI on amateur and just banging them 20-0.
Mm.
It's like, no, I'd rather actually, you know, it'd be difficult and be rewarding. And that's not saying it's not rewarding, because as a team sport, their car being this dominant is the most rewarding thing. Yeah. You know, it's more rewarding than that season with, you know, when they went up head-to-head with Lewis. And I mean that in a sense, because it's like, their work is so outstanding that no one comes close.
Yeah.
Now, it might not be as satisfying in the sense of, like, when you get that victory, it's like, oh my God, like, that elation of, like, a 91st minute winner, we've done it. You know, we've taken Lewis Hamilton on. Right, I'm not going to go into semantics here, but we know what went on. But taken Lewis Hamilton on like the last lap of the final race of the season, it's going to give us the win. Nothing will compare to those sort of feelings when it's a really hard fought victory. But that takes nothing away from the fact that Red Bull will be sitting there absolutely delighted every time, because that car is hundreds, thousands of hours of hard work that have gone into it. So yeah, it's not necessarily like, oh, Red Bull ruining the sport. It's not Red Bull ruining the sport at all. Like, they have set the bar so high. It's incredible. If, you know, if anything, it's one of the most incredible achievements we've ever seen in the sport, if not the most incredible achievement from a team. You know, in my opinion, this level of dominance is up there with Mercedes winning 8 Constructors' Championships in a row, because they never did it in this style.
Oh, no.
You know, this is unbelievable. But it's from a sporting perspective, yeah, of course it's destroying the sport. You know,
but can I just say, if Mercedes were this dominant or McLaren were this dominant, I'd be saying the same. It's not just because they're Red Bull.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'd be sitting here on that. I'd be sitting here from the perspective of how I was just describing the Red Bull engineers.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know, I say this in the same. The other teams need to build quicker cars. I say that now. The other teams need to do better. Mm. It's not that Red Bull are like, they can't be impossible to catch. They physically can't be. I'm sorry. It's just whatever they're doing is working. And I know there are limitations with cost caps and stuff, but there's got to be something. There has to be someone smart enough that is like, I know what to do. It can't. Adrian Newey cannot be the only man on the fucking planet that understands these cars to the point where he can pull consistently like 4 or 5 tenths a lap on all the other cars. That's not possible. But if it was Mercedes, I'd be saying like, it's good for me. Lewis is now on championship number 10 and we've now won, well, we're on for our 11th in a row. But it remains the same from the sporting perspective. Awful for the sport. It's so bad.
It is bad. Do let us know. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Do you want to talk about Saudi or do you want a couple bits of news?
Let's go for news, because realistically, we got to keep these guys engaged. And if we're talking about Saudi,
we'll lose you.
I'd probably turn off if I was you.
So Liam Lawson has been asked about, you know, what he's going to do with his future. Obviously, we've discussed, we think he should be in the sport this year. 100% he should be in this. For me, he should be driving this year. He's saying that actually he's got some difficult decisions to make, but he ultimately wants to drive for Red Bull. He's been with them for 5 years. That's what he wants to do. And it's got me thinking, because obviously we discussed this weekend, Danny Ric, he's had a awful couple of starts to races. First one, he had to be team orders to let him go past Sonoda, even though he was on softs, and actually he should be overtaken. This weekend, he was just well off. He was just basically at the back, you know. The only reason he wasn't at the back is because Sauber decided to do like 1 minute pit stop for Bottas.
It was a rookie mistake that he made.
Yeah.
This week, you know, or this weekend, going off like that. I think it sort of epitomized everything that we sort of thought about Danny Ric over the past few years, where it's like he just hasn't got it anymore.
I
don't know what it is, and it might be he's had a drop off a lot sooner than other drivers, but we've specifically said on this podcast consistently that we don't think he's good enough.
No.
That like our opinion has never changed. We said that when he was at McLaren. And I think it's the first two races.
Yeah.
But I think the point is that he's not Nick De Vries.
No.
He has raced in F1 for many seasons. At the top as well.
Yeah.
So stuff like that is not acceptable. Yeah, it's the first two races, but yeah, he's also going to be harshed more. Harshed? He's going to be critiqued more harshly because of who he is and who his experience is.
But he is expected to be the next Red Bull driver. And this is what's mad to me, is that actually we're wasting time by having someone like Danny Ric on the grid. And I could say this about like Logan Sargeant, whatever, K-Mag, Hülkenberg, where we've got talent like Liam Lawson, who proved himself last year, who should be on this grid.
Yeah, it's interesting.
This is prime time for these type of drivers to be coming through. Danny Ric has had his opportunities.
No, I completely agree. And from like a fan perspective and from like a let's maximise the sport perspective, yeah, it makes sense. Give that seat to Liam Lawson, the AlphaTauri or the Red Bull seat even. Or let's not forget Yuki Tsunoda. You know, maybe he gets the Red Bull seat and then Liam Lawson comes in and they bring in another young driver. But from a Red Bull perspective, you know, for them, they're thinking like, okay, well, spaceship. What if we give Danny Ric 1 year in this car, which would be the 2025 season, which is the last season of these regulations?
Yeah.
They're like, we know he'll pump in laps. Anyone can pump in laps in this car. We know that he's not going to compete with Max. Max will be happy. We get another... Well, no, it wouldn't be. It would be a five-time champion of the world in consecutive seasons, and they keep harmony in the team.
Yeah,
you know, that way we haven't brought someone in that's pissed Max off, so now come 2026 he's thinking, fuck these guys, they haven't put me first. They're just playing the game, because yeah, either way they're gonna win. You know, last season they could have won the Constructors' Championship with just Max Verstappen. So they're not worried about that. They know Max is going to win. But why would you then... What if you brought in Liam Lawson and it did get heated? You know, he's a young driver. He's going to go up against him. In my opinion, no one can go up against Max Verstappen at this point in time. So I don't think that's a genuine concern. But it's something they'll think about, of just keeping the peace. So maybe Danny Ric does make sense. Or maybe extending Perez for another year makes sense.
But it's bad for the sport. This is what I don't understand. You want drivers who are coming into these teams to be challenging, you know, to, for Danny Ric, and granted, this, I'm just recapping, it's only two races in and it can change. Danny Ric should be beating Tsunoda week in, week out.
No,
he should be doing to earn his Red Bull seat. And I know some of you might say, well, he beat him in Bahrain. He didn't beat him in Bahrain. He got given it, okay? He would not have got past Tsunoda. And actually, Tsunoda has shown more in the last two races than what Danny Ric has. But that's what I always think with Tsunoda, is actually I think Tsunoda offers more than what Danny Ric does.
I think what lets Tsunoda down is his temperament. And that's honestly why I think he'll never get the Red Bull seat.
Oh, it's his second phase in races that lets Tsunoda down. Because his first half of the race is strong.
Yeah, but I think it's more his anger. Heated.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's why he'll never get a seat in Red Bull. And I would completely understand that. Because you see anger from certain drivers, but Yuki is like next level, and it'll be like over silly stuff sometimes. And yeah, I think that will cost him his seat at Red Bull. But I think he'll probably be at AlphaTauri for a long time unless he decides to go elsewhere.
Yeah. But Liam Lawson, for me, he should be on the grid this year. He did. And especially after, because it was interesting watching Drive to Survive, it highlighted more to me. You kind of forget, because I tried to forget last season, but watching it, what he actually did as a rookie coming in was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, he did a great job. I mean, could compare that to Ollie Bearman this weekend.
Yeah, should we touch on Ollie Bearman?
Yeah, well, I actually heard, obviously, I'm going to ask this question. Has anyone actually ever seen Helmut Marko give an interview? Has anyone ever seen a video of that? Why are my Twitter feed, why Why is my Twitter feed constantly plastered with Helmut Marko quotes? Who the hell is interviewing him? Where are they coming from? I've never, ever seen...
He's got his own TV show, which no one actually knows.
I've never seen him do an interview. But he was talking about Oli Bearman, saying, well, like, Ferrari have a big issue on the hand, because he was saying that at some points he was matching Leclerc. Mm. He's 18 years old. Never driven an F1 car before. Well, not in this situation.
He has. He's done free practice in Haas last year.
Yeah, but as in like...
Yeah, in actual race time. Yeah. Get that.
And they've just signed Lewis Hamilton on a multi-year deal alongside Charles Leclerc, who's on a multi-year deal. But they don't want to lose Oli Bearman. Mm. So he was saying Fred Vasseur has a job on finding Bearman a seat. So he can at least guarantee that, you know, like they had with Charles. They got him in the Alfa Romeo. And
but it makes perfect sense. You know, Oli Bearman coming in this weekend, he did a phenomenal job. And this just, you know, for me, try not to get too carried away with it, because yes, they did a great job on one of the most difficult tracks of the year, calendar. But it's just one race. And actually, we've got to remember, because I remember reading someone saying, oh, well, Nyck de Vries did that. The difference is Nyck de Vries was actually more of an experienced driver than what Oli Bearman is.
And Nyck de Vries was like, what, 28 or whatever.
So I don't quite agree with that. But I think, you know, Oli Bearman, I don't disagree with Lewis Hamilton going there, because I think that's great for Ferrari and I think it's great for the sport.
Yeah.
But I think for Oli Bearman, yes, I agree. He should be in a team, gain that experience. And somewhere like Williams, Haas would be great, because he can get that experience. And then when it comes time, he can go back to Ferrari.
Yeah, because there will be a time that Lewis Hamilton retires, you know, like every driver. But I mean, Lewis is, what, 40 this year?
Yeah.
But at this point in time, he's not shown any signs of slowing down.
No.
Other than the fact he's driving a slower car. You know, he's incredibly competitive last season. He is an absolute PR machine.
Yep.
So, you know, Ferrari are going to get him in. Stocks are going to go through the roof. Sales of merchandise are going to go through the roof.
Yeah.
They're going to gain an incredibly huge fan base. I know they already have the biggest fan base, but Lewis Hamilton has the biggest fan base. So it's a match made in heaven. But yeah, you've got a plan for the future.
See, I don't think Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari is a bad decision at all. What I do think is, I think there's, as I said before, there's two drivers who should be on the grid, and that is Lawson, and that is, after this weekend, Bearman. I think he's given the opportunity, he could do a quite good job. In theory, the people who I don't think should be on the grid, Sargeant, another woeful weekend for him this weekend.
Yep.
How he's still on the grid. And there's just, let me just clarify, it's funny because when I'm saying bad drivers, they're not bad drivers in comparison, because they're fantastic drivers. But in comparison to what you have on that top 20 drivers, he is a bad driver.
Yeah, he's not good enough. No. Simply.
You know, there's drivers who I don't think should be on the grid at this moment in time. K-Mag is probably one of them. Oh, yes, he did a great job this weekend, but actually he's making too many mistakes. He got 20-second penalty. He wanted to kill Albon this weekend. You got Sargeant and Danny Rick. I think there's three drivers on there who probably don't really...
Yeah.
Who there's drivers who could easily be replaced and who could do a better job in that team. But I'm trying not to get too hyped about the Oli Bearman thing. He did a great job this weekend. He's fantastic. But I think he needs to go to a team and really...
I absolutely don't think he's done enough to show that he deserves that Ferrari seat.
No.
Right now.
But I think he deserves a seat.
Yeah. But he's shown that he would be a very competent driver. Yeah.
In that Williams seat alongside Albon. Perfect learning. Even in the Haas, against, you know, with Hülkenberg or something.
Yeah, the Haas probably makes more sense because of the Ferrari relationship. Yeah. But Yeah, I think, you know, it. But doesn't it interest you? It's like, well, how many drivers out there are there that...
Who are probably at this level.
That could come in and...
Yeah.
And actually, they could take it to Max Verstappen or Charles Leclerc.
I don't think there's many drivers who could probably come in and do what Ollie Bearman did this weekend. In the sense of, you know, it showed this weekend what he did by actually being chucked in FP3, all of a sudden qualifying in P11.
Did you see his head like bouncing about from where his neck was just taking a battering?
Yeah, outrageous. And actually completing, because this is a tough track. I'd say it's one of the toughest tracks on the calendar in the year.
Oh, 100%.
And he bossed it. So I don't think there's many people out there who could do that. And you've got to also remember, Stroll couldn't do it this weekend. He decided to bin it in a wall.
Yeah.
And then actually the engineer comes out, can you get it back to, I'm in a wall.
Yeah, what did he say? Like, no, I'm in a fucking wall. But in fairness, you would have thought they'd know that. Like,
yeah, you could just see that he can't actually move. Stroll couldn't do it.
Stroll, to be fair, is also probably another driver that doesn't deserve a seat.
No.
You know, so I think there's four on that list.
Yeah.
K-Mac gave us all false hope when he was up against Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
Made him look a lot better than he was.
Yeah.
Now he's come up against Hulk. I think we're seeing how good he actually is.
Yeah.
Which is not very good. Sargeant, I mean, unless you've been watching F1 with your eyes closed, then, you know, we need to say no more on that. Danny Ric, yeah. I mean, it's two races in. We'll go easy on him, but he shouldn't be this experienced. Yeah. And finishing behind Sonoda.
The next two races for Danny Ric are very big, in my opinion. And don't get me wrong, they're not the difference between him losing a seat or not, but they're very big in actually turning people's perceptions around.
Yeah, 100%. And then, Stroll. He just... everyone knows why he's got that seat. Fernando Alonso, granted, is an anomaly because he's Fernando Alonso, right? Incredibly experienced, two-time world champion.
Again, showed this weekend how good he is.
Always been a very quick driver, but he's also showing what someone can do in that car. Like, if you can get someone, you know, and granted, there aren't many of Fernando's level available. Mm. Well, there's no one at the moment, but there are drivers like an Ollie Bearman who you might be able to get in. I'm not saying like Aston Martin can't get him in, but I'm saying like, you know, is it time that they actually take a punt and just say, look, we have to try someone else because Fernando is killing it. If they had two Fernandos
they'd be
in that team, they'd be very competitive. So it's something they're going to have to start thinking about.
It is funny because, you know, a few weeks back we discussed about, you know, when Lewis retires, who do we follow? For the first time, I was like, do you know what? If Ollie Bearman was in the sport, I actually think he'd be my next driver. I know, obviously, alongside Albon, but I liked him. I thought what he was, you know, with the press stuff and everything, he was great this weekend.
Yeah. See, it annoys me because part of me just, like, I do just like George Russell.
Yeah.
But I know that means I have to go back to Mercedes once Lewis is gone. I love Charles Leclerc. Like, I'll always back him because I think he's quality. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just from when George was at Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always backing him.
George. It's sometimes hard to get that rapport with him like we have, you know, like I have with Lewis.
Yeah, but I think it's impossible all the while Lewis is there for me to feel any way about another driver because I just...
Okay, but do you think if George Russell was going for a championship and say like 21 season again and he was going up against Max Verstappen, would you have the same investment as what you had with Lewis Hamilton if Lewis wasn't in the sport?
No, but I'm not sure I will with any driver ever.
But this is what I mean. It's very difficult, isn't it, to get... It's going to be very difficult to get that back, that type of stuff back with another driver.
There was, you know, like I'm not going to sit here and claim that I watched every single race from Lewis's like inaugural race to Saudi Arabia last week.
You watched all the F2 races and everything, didn't you?
Oh yeah. Like that is not what I'm going to claim at all. like, for a long period of time, my F1 watching was incredibly sporadic. But I'll never forget Lewis Hamilton coming into the sport.
Mm.
And that is... It did something to the F1 world, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like he was destined to be...
He was a new kid on the block. It was a lot of...
Coming up against Fernando Alonso as well. Yeah. And from... You know, like, you tend to support your own countrymen. Do you know what I mean?
And
we had Jenson Button. David Coulthard is Scottish, so we weren't taking him here in England. We'll take Andy Murray, though, because he's good.
Yeah, I like Andy.
So we had Jenson Button, and then
it was... Coulthard was also Red Bull.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't massively care about... I mean, I used to love Fernando and the Renault, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it was like Lewis Hamilton coming into this sport. He was just like presented to us.
It had a lot of hope though, because he was with this team for years beforehand.
Yeah.
And he had so much promise. Ron Dennis was like, he's the next big thing. So he had so much hope for us, you know, British fans going, okay, well, we got this, you know, Jenson Button's getting older now. I mean, to be fair, Jenson Button's looked the same age as even like 10 years ago. He looked his age now.
He arguably looks better now, to be fair. but that's the thing. I don't think... And it's weird because it's kind of like, does F1 even work in that way anymore?
Yeah.
You know, would we... I guess Max Verstappen was... Max is too... Dutch people and Red Bull fans, what Lewis is to us.
Yeah.
And I think they come very few and far between, but then Lewis is still was special because it was like he was going for a world championship in that first season, then won it in his second. So now there's probably it also like ties in with his status as well. It's like there's a reason he's the most famous man on that grid.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we, as in like you and I, will ever have another Lewis.
No.
Similar to how, you know, fans of Schumacher have probably never had another Schumacher.
Yeah.
And fans of Verstappen will never have another Verstappen. There's a chance it could happen, but like it feels unlikely. Yeah.
Yeah. Do let us know. What we've spoke about, some good topics, half an hour in already.
Well, yeah, because there's not a lot to talk about when it comes to Saudi. No.
Let's touch on Lewis Hamilton. I generally believe Lewis Hamilton is done with Mercedes, because you look at this weekend's interviews, you look at how he is with his persona, he just looks generally done with this car. He's done with this car, he's done with this team. He's just kind of like, get me out of here. Get me to Ferrari 2025.
If I was Lewis, I'd be walking to Fred Vasseur and I'd be like, mate, how much is Sainz's contract for the rest of the year? He's like, it's 10 mil, Lewis. I'd be like, right, here's a check. You pay Sainz, tell him to fuck off. I'm going to walk out of Mercedes. I'm going to come and take that seat right now because I cannot deal with this anymore. Oh my God. Toto Wolff. Did you see the interview where he was saying that we're going to come back stronger in Melbourne? Like, we're going to find that time. We're going to come back stronger. How many times have I heard that?
What really is starting to baffle me is actually they're doing these different strategies like they did in 22. I feel like they're using Hamilton as a guinea pig to trial different setups. Because I know in Bahrain, it was Lewis's decision to do setups or whatever. But the more you're starting to hear, it's like, oh, well, we've decided to go on different strategies to see if we can actually benefit. And I'm thinking this is like 22 all over. Whereas, you know, George will have probably the better setup and Lewis will be the one who's actually just trying to different things. I can't deal with that again.
I mean, I said something over the weekend that I thought I'd never say in my life.
Yeah.
I said, bring the W14 back.
Yeah, I know. I did see that. Yeah.
It's better than this piece of shit. It fucking is. I have no idea what they've done, but there was a lot of chatter about the Mercedes this weekend, about his performance in the high speed. This is essentially why you saw Lewis Hamilton putting a higher downforce rear wing on his car for FP3, was it? Now, that was all well and good. I mean, he didn't massively gain through those high-speed sections anyway, but then he was just losing too much time.
Oh, when he was chasing straights. Norris was just ridiculous. Well, the straights were okay. It was literally the sector
about,
one.
I'm talking about FP3.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So then he reverts back to the reduced drag rear wing. Granted, I feel like Lewis was off the pace more than George, but both cars were rubbish. And you could see that in the fact that George couldn't get close to Fernando. Lewis could not get close to, was it Norris that was in front of him? Or
he did well to hold off Piastri.
He did do well to hold off Piastri, to be fair.
And I'd definitely question.
But it's because you can't really overtake in those high-speed corners.
Yeah.
You know, because the nature of the track is it's so fast, so slim. There's no way you can overtake there. So Piastri had no chance because, the Mercedes was in a straight line. It was fine. But
that sector one killed Mercedes.
Yeah, and that's where all the time went. And because they then lost so much time there, there was absolutely no chance that they'd ever be able to overtake when we got to, the overtaking parts because they just lost so much time.
They were losing, anywhere from 5 to 7 tenths a second because it was triggering me because you see down the main straight, you're like...
Oh, so close.
3 tenths. Literally in sector one, 1.2.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Here? Have you seen the onboard from Lewis?
Yeah, how the
the
gap is just outrageous.
Yeah, it's insane that and how much it pulls.
For a team like Mercedes, that's embarrassing. Mercedes. What did I say?
Mercedes.
Oh, I said Mercedes.
Good old Mercedes.
Bullshit Mercedes. It's embarrassing. Watching that onboard footage, it's like Lewis Hamilton has just literally just stopped and just seeing someone just run off into the distance.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what the hell they've done to that car, but I'm telling you, the W14 was never this bad.
But I just look at Lewis Hamilton in his interviews, and he just looks done.
Yeah, nah, he.
You know, this is 3 years now of a bad car. Nah, granted, we're only two races in. But this is a bad car.
He's well done with it.
Yeah,
and the bullshit thing is they keep coming out, like Mercedes, like Toto, whoever. Oh, we've got a great base to work from. Have you? Fucking doesn't look like it. Looks like a piece of shit. First race, it was overheating. Second race, we had absolutely no speed in the high-speed corners. Like, not just no speed, like an embarrassing amount of speed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they've got the same rear suspension as Aston Martin, and do McLaren have the same rear suspension or do they do their own?
I honestly,
but the Aston Martin was fine.
I just
so there's something again fundamentally wrong with the car, and it's just like I go back to this point of Adrian Newey cannot be the only man to know how to make these cars work. Why the hell can Mercedes not make it work? And now they're worried about their sim correlations. Why are they only worried about that now?
Oh, somebody didn't calibrate the sim properly. I thought
back in 2022 they had that issue.
Yeah.
Why has it not been fixed?
I just think what you're starting to find out now is actually Mercedes are coming out with the same excuses we've been hearing for the last 3 years. And actually, 3 years of a failing car is not good. And it's not good, and I, as I said before, this is probably why Lewis is leaving, because he knew there wasn't a progression.
Oh, 100%.
He obviously knew something was going on. That Ferrari doesn't look bad, and I generally believe by Lewis going into Ferrari next year, it's going to come out better.
I said this, I think over one lap, the Ferrari is on par with the Red Bull. But even race
pace this weekend, Charles Leclerc getting P3.
Yeah, but I mean, less race pace is not the same.
Okay, maybe not. It's better than the Merc, though.
Oh, no, 100%.
This is what I mean. It's
no,
better
it's
than
the second
Merc.
Best car, but yeah. I say, like, over one lap, that Ferrari is on par with the Red Bull.
Yeah.
It's the Red Bull's tyre deck that makes it so good. Yeah. And that's what needs to be figured out by teams. But, yeah, I mean...
From what it's looking like at the moment, Lewis Hamilton's decision to leave to go to Ferrari for next year...
It's looking like a good one.
It's looking like a very, very good one. But from what we're seeing is that he is done with his team. The interviews, you literally watch his interviews and you're kind of like, I actually feel quite sorry for you, in the sense of you've literally just got the rest of this season in this tractor. And that image of that tractor with the W13 nose on it, do you remember that image? Is actually coming to real life.
What do you mean?
Well, it is a tractor, isn't it?
Yeah, well, to be fair, the W13 was as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah.
The last three cars have been a fucking tractor.
Well, let's not go down that, because when I said a tractor last year, you were like, no, the W14 is actually a relatively good race car.
I actually stand by
See,
that.
See, there you go.
The W14...
Was the best of the rest.
Was a better race car than it got credit for.
Yeah.
The only reason it was a, in air quotes, tractor... was because that Red Bull existed. But then I am still a little bit confused as to why they changed like the overall concept of the car. Because towards the back end of that season, that car actually got pretty good.
Yeah. I think they had
I know they ran it too low at Kota.
Yeah.
But look at it there. I mean, Lewis was catching Max.
Yeah. But I think you take that with a bit of a pinch of salt, really, because even that W13 had good races. I mean, George Russell won.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that W13 won a race.
No, that is true.
You know, so... I take, you know... certain races with a pinch of salt, because I'm kind of like, okay, well, that car probably suits them a bit more, so they will actually probably do well. But the consistency is what I'm worried about, is actually there is no consistency with this car. You know, last year it was very good, next race we're like rubbish, you know, good, then rubbish, then good, then
yeah,
rubbish.
I just feel like with the cost cap, had we not come a little bit too far to be like, right, let's scrap this, lads. Because now we've ended up in arguably a worse situation. There might be a fix to it. Who knows? They might bring some upgrades at work, but I actually think they've probably gone backwards because they've changed the concept of the car.
Yeah. I just think the FIA, if Red Bull are as dominant this year, then something's got to change. Something's got to give, because...
Well, it would be good for them to... Everything Mercedes did from 2014 to 2021, the FIA came in with some sort of regulation to try and nerf them every season.
Get the Red Bull to go around on three wheels.
Yeah, do something. It would just be... But these cars haven't worked anyway. Let's be honest. You know, these miracle ground effect cars. Oh, there'll be closer racing. You'll be able to overtake... Teams seem to have found a way around that. But the
interesting thing is, it's closer racing, but people can't overtake because you get DRS trains.
Oh, yeah.
We have more DRS trains than we've ever had before.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's closer racing in the sense where most of the cars are similar in pace. But I don't necessarily think we're seeing better racing or anything.
No.
And certainly not towards the front, but...
And that was a prime example in Saudi, wasn't it? K-Mag. No one could overtake him.
Yeah, he just backed up everyone.
He just backed up everyone. And people couldn't overtake anything.
Which was done on purpose, by the way. I assume you know that.
No, really? What, to help Hülkenberg? Yeah, no, I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I know sometimes you don't, like, understand things.
Let's not go down this, all right? Why do you want to start an argument?
Oh, I'm just... But that is...
I gathered that. I'm not stupid. Right. Don't answer that.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Saudi?
Yeah, I mean, we can touch on it. I don't want to dive into it too much because it genuinely was boring. I watched it at F1 Arcade.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was good. I mean, it was...
So tell us, if for people who don't know what F1 Arcade is, what is F1 Arcade?
It's like a... Essentially, it's a big bar where you can play F1 on
proper
simulators.
Proper Sims.
Yeah. So, really good setups there.
Did you take it really seriously?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
I can imagine.
It was... Yeah, it was sick. It's a really good environment, especially because this was like coincidence. We had booked it ages ago, and like I said, I had no idea the race was on a Saturday. It was race day, so it was absolutely packed in there. It was really good watching the race with like hundreds of other people that were actually really invested in what was going on. I said, like, the only other time I've had that is like when you watch football in the pub.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like watching football in the pub, just everyone was watching F1. And yeah, it was pretty sick. But the race wasn't. The race was shit.
Has it made you think about getting a proper steering wheel for your setup?
I do have a proper steering wheel.
Okay, yeah, that's just like a normal car driving steering wheel.
Well, yeah, I would get a proper rig. But I haven't got anywhere to like put it.
Mm.
Like, you know, cool. The seat and everything like that. I haven't got the room in here.
Get rid of this one. Have a full setup down here.
I like my sofa.
Mm. It's just full of junk.
At the moment, it's actually a lot of packages. But I've had to order a lot of clothes.
Nice. Yeah, Saudi was boring. Obviously, the main highlight of the weekend was Ollie Burman. Let's just run through a few little bits. K-Mag did a great job. He got a 20-second penalty, almost killed Albon. I mean, that was dangerous, wasn't it?
Not going to lie, I was a little bit drunk.
Oh, really? Good. Okay, well, he almost pushed him into the wall.
Did he deserve it, though?
Who, Albon? Mm. No.
Oh.
No, not in the slightest. And then from that point of view, with that 20-second penalty, his race was over. So he basically just held up P12 onwards.
Yeah.
Allowed K-Mag to get a good enough gap. We had a safety car at the beginning before Stroll, who decided to bin it into the wall. And it was weird because Norris and Hamilton decided not to pit. They were on mediums. This was like lap six. There was a lot of, double stacking. Surprise, surprise. Max Verstappen and Red Bull did a fantastic, double
Perfect.
Pit. Perfect.
Perfect.
Was it the right call to keep Norris and Lewis out? I would probably say not.
I think that's easy to say with hindsight.
No, I think more for Norris. I think for Lewis, I don't know whether he would have been able to do anything better. But I think Norris could have probably finished a couple places higher if he had actually pitted when he needed to.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, that is still with like the benefit of hindsight, isn't it? It's easy to say now knowing that there was no safety car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there could have been a safety car. If they had pit Norris, wouldn't he have lost? Was Norris ahead of Piastri?
No, he was behind Piastri.
So he could have lost places through the double stack.
Potentially, but then he would have made it up during the race. You know, they pitted relatively late. They came out on softs with, what,
10 laps to go? Yeah, but not if he couldn't get past Piastri.
Yeah, but I don't think he was racing Piastri. There was still Alonso in that mix.
Here's the thing. I appreciate the strategy calls where it's like, it's a risk. When you've got nothing to lose, like if Max stayed out, I'd be like, why? Yeah. Like, what's the point? But if, Lewis is racing for what, like at the time, 8th or something?
Mm.
Yeah, do it. Because on the off chance that we get another safety car,
it's in a better position. The only with these type of tracks is only one stopper, and I know we have a lot of tracks within the year with only one stops. I want more pit stops. It makes it more interesting.
Told you she's noisy.
Because she's absolutely
Yeah, no, it's a bit boring. You know,
as soon as they pitted after lap six, that was it.
And that's kind of what screwed Lando and Lewis.
Yeah.
Because the degradation was not bad at all. So, yeah, that's down to these cars again. Or it could also be down to the tyres, as in like what Pirelli are actually producing.
But those mediums went for like 30 odd laps when they were only expected to do like between 20 and 25 laps. So again, you know, these tyres, and Lewis was holding off Piastri very, very nicely.
Yeah. But the Merc did have that straight line speed.
Yeah.
It was good in a straight line.
It's just in sector one that killed it. Sector two and three, you spend all that time getting back up to speed, getting that gap or whatever, and then you're back to square one again in sector one. I did like what Piastri tweeted, because somebody sent him a DM from what I've seen of the rear wing of Lewis Hamilton.
Oh.
And he said it was something like piss off or something. Yeah. It was good. But yeah, I don't know. It was just a very, very boring race. Perez did very well.
Solid job from the Bulls.
Yeah. Good 1-2 for them. They just looked solid all weekend.
Good of Lando to just let Max through.
Yeah. Classic. Nothing changes, does it?
Classic Lando.
Oh, I'm not fighting him. It was going to ruin my race if I had to fight him. And he jumped the start. Can I just...
Yeah, what the how has he avoided a penalty there?
I don't know. His response was, oh, actually, I lost time anyway. But he... How did that not trigger the...
That's true. He probably did lose time, but...
Anyone else?
Yeah, that's not
who
the
got
rules,
it last
it?
Year? Who got the penalty last year? There was someone, wasn't there, who got a penalty for jump starting? I think it was Stroll. Was it a Silverstone? Somebody jumped, started... I can't remember.
Fuck knows.
But that, I mean, if your sensor's not working, all right, if your sensor's not working, just to say that he's jumped, you can literally see on board, he's jumped it. So yeah, I was wondering with that, I was a bit ridiculous. Obviously, Perez got a 5-second penalty, didn't really make a difference. He still finished quite comfortably ahead. Solid job from Leclerc. I thought he was actually had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Both racing Bulls struggled this weekend.
Yeah. That car has not lived up to what people were expecting.
I was expecting it to be a lot stronger.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? They may turn it around. Solid again from Alonso this weekend, picking up, was it P5? I think it was.
What I will say, any team that is not Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes, or Aston Martin are going to really, really, really struggle to get points this season.
Yeah.
Like, incredibly so.
Yeah.
If we carry on the way we're going, I mean, Hulk with that 1 point in the Haas could be enough to get them sixth. Because I think there is a big divide in the field, in that we've got those five teams that are substantially quicker than the other five teams. Now, obviously, that's going to vary track to track, but I do think we're seeing that more definitively at this stage than we were last season and the season before.
Yeah.
So it could be a really tough season for those lower five teams.
Oh, 100%.
So those 1 point wins, you know, P10s.
But I think those teams know that, because look how Haas celebrated this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, they were delighted with that point.
It's a big point.
Yeah.
I mean, they're P6 in the championship now.
And I think, you know, I'm concerned from what I'm seeing from Williams. They haven't started off great. They may turn that around. I'm sure, I think with Alex Albon in the team, they would turn that around and they'll pick up a few points. Sauber just looks, I mean... We've had two crap pit stops in the last two races from them, both over minutes pretty much. So they need to sort that out. And we're worried about, you know, Mercedes with their 3.5. Crikey. I would take a 3.5 over a 1 minute pit stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. There's a massive difference between those five and the back five.
Mm.
But, you know, we've, Stroll crashes or whatever, reliability, yeah, that, because you don't know.
That's the thing, they're going to have to capitalise on those.
Yeah,
it's looking like at this point in time that they've got no chance of securing a legit P10 plus finish.
Do you know, and I didn't realise, and I know our next race is Melbourne.
Yep.
Did you know time-wise? You know, last year it was 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't this time.
Later?
No.
Not earlier.
Mate, this is grim. So the race is at 4 a.m.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. It was six last time, wasn't it?
Sure, it was six.
Yeah, because we watched it. We did a watch along.
Yeah.
And that was the one where it turned out probably one of the better races.
Yeah, then they ruined it with that safety car. Yeah. Again.
Qualifying is 5 till 6 on the Saturday, but yeah, the race is 4 o'clock.
Holy fuck. That's bad.
That is bad.
I will wake up and watch it.
But do you know if you sync your calendar in here, you can get updates on everything?
Didn't know they had a calendar.
No, I didn't know. So that is very grim.
Basically, brace yourselves for that. That's next week. Obviously, you're listening to this on Wednesday. So it's not this coming Sunday. Sunday after, we have Melbourne at 4 a.m.
I don't know how I'm going to cope with that. That's quite rough.
That's going back to bed
time. And actually...
Well, the race will finish at like 6.
Yeah.
Can actually go back to bed and then just wake up at like 10.
Or you just record it and get up at 6 and watch it to 8.
Nah.
No, I can't see that happening. But what makes it worse is if we have another boring race, getting up at 4 a.m. is going to be rough.
I'm going to assess quali and free practice.
If it's going to be a Red Bull dominance in qualifying and the Mercs are in like basically P9 and 10.
I'll re-watch it at like 9 a.m.
You'd have to question it, wouldn't you? You'd have to question it.
Yeah, not 100%.
But no, tough race this weekend. Some highlights with Berman, very solid. Hülkenberg, great for Haas. but I am generally concerned that this season is going to be a whitewash.
But onto bigger and better things in Australia.
Let's hope. Any other things we want to discuss? Is that it? Done. Right, hope you've enjoyed the podcast. If you have, check us out on all social media. We really appreciate all the support. We basically post daily. Luke was meant to do a TikTok today. He didn't.
I did a story.
Oh, well done. You did a story, didn't you?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well done, mate. Well done. It always makes me laugh. Luke is like, you know, we need to be regular with the content. You ask him to do something, he doesn't do it.
What?
You sound shocked by that.
Yeah, I am shocked.
What, unfair?
It is unfair.
Okay. When was the last time you did a post?
No, I've made stuff on Photoshop.
Okay, yeah, that was a while ago. But yeah, you have done it. Yeah, well done. But yeah, check us out on all social media. We post daily. I don't even want to get into the Horner news, the Red Bull news, because I'm so confused by it all. There's so many different stories on a day-to-day basis, and I can't really keep up. Helmut Marko was meant to be suspended this weekend because apparently he was the one who leaked all the documents. We don't know if that's true. Apparently Max Verstappen has come out and said if Helmut Marko leaves, then he will go. It is all just all over the place, and I don't think they know what is going on.
Yeah, the Red Bull stuff is mental.
And it's just, you know, today they're coming out and saying Max Verstappen, if he wishes to go, we'll support him. Christian Horner was apparently meant to be sacked this week, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen because they've come out and said they're going to support him. I have no idea. And I could sit here and we could have a discussion about the whole Red Bull situation, but it is so unclear. And yeah. I have no idea what is actually going on with it. So I'm not going to bore you with that, because if there's any updates with that, it'll all be on our social media. But have a great week. No race this weekend, but we'll be back next week to discuss all things Australia. And we might have a bit more news with the Red Bull situation. But until then, have a great week. Luke, look after yourself, and I shall see you later. Bye-bye.